Welcome to Doctrine for Life with Dr. Joel Beakey. Today we hear the second part of Dr. Beakey's sermon on Luke 17, verses 11 through 19, the account of Christ healing the 10 lepers on the theme of Are We Truly or Superficially Thankful? In the first broadcast, we heard how Dr. Beakey, as he originally preached for Thanksgiving Day, spoke to people about the 9 people who responded superficially to Christ's wondrous miracle of healing them from leprosy. Now we hear more about the one man who was truly thankful and how we can cultivate true gratitude in our lives to the Lord.
Notice what our text says. It says, when he's on his way to Jesus, as he returns, he glorifies God with a loud voice. He glorifies God with a loud voice. Can't you see him, boys and girls? He's singing. He's leaping for joy. In the presence of Jesus, he's overwhelmed with gratitude. He wants to glorify God. He wants to say, Lord Jesus Christ, Thou art everything to me. Thou art more than this healing. I want to glorify God. This is true thanksgiving. You see, God's great goal in this life is to manifest His own glory. And God's great love is to manifest His own glory over spiritual Samaritan lepers who are saved by grace, who just want to praise His name and give Him thanks and glorify Him. And I hope that's you this morning. You know, the Hebrew word for glory is kabod. It derives from a root word meaning weight or to be weighty. You know, the value of a gold coin was determined by its weight. And so to have weight, to have weightiness is to have value. It's to have worth. And the Greek word for glory is doxa, which means, originally meant at least, opinion. This word refers to the worth or value which we, in our opinion, assign to someone or something. And so what this man is realizing in his soul is that Jesus Christ has inestimable, immeasurable value. He comes to love Jesus, to value Jesus in a way that He himself could never have understood but an hour before. God's glory is the beauty of His manifold perfections, as well as the awesome radiance that breaks forth from those perfections. And this man sees something of that, of the glory and the beauty of Jesus. He sees the deity of Jesus. He comes back and he glorifies God. He sees the moral worth, the glorious excellence of the Almighty. It shines forth in Jesus in greatness, in worthiness, in weightiness. And that's what happens when you have true thanksgiving. You're overwhelmed with God and you want to praise Him and glorify Him in His acts in nature, in creation, in His acts in providence, in His acts above all in redemption. You see His excellence, His weightiness. You become a worshiper of Him. You give Him glory. You return to Him by praising and thanking and glorifying God. No matter what your afflictions, no matter what your prosperity, you understand now with Isaiah 6 verse 3, the whole earth is full of His glory. You see the glory of God, the weightiness of God everywhere. And you bow in humble thanksgiving. Man's chief end, said the old Puritans, is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. And when you do that, you're full of thankfulness. The supreme happiness we have in this life is praising God with a grateful heart. It's the highest, most rewarding act to worship Him with all that is within you. Glory to God alone is the heartbeat of the Reformation. It's the heartbeat of the Bible. It's the heartbeat of God Himself. Thomas Watson said, God's glory is such an essential part of His being that He cannot be God without it. True thanksgiving is doxological. It is praising God. It is giving God the glory. It is saying with the Apostle Paul, for of Him and through Him and to Him are all things, to whom be glory forever. But how? How do we glorify God with thanksgiving? Let me give you 7 quick ways. We do it by confessing, number one, our sins to God and fleeing to Christ for forgiveness and having God's nature restored to us through regeneration and faith. 2, we glorify God by praising and worshiping and thanking and delighting in the triune God as Creator, as Provider, as Redeemer, as He's revealed Himself in the Word of God. And 3, we glorify God by trusting Him and surrendering all things into His hands unconditionally and truly believing that all things work together for good to them that love Him. And 4, we glorify God by being zealous for His glory. And 5, we glorify God by walking humbly and thankfully and cheerfully before Him and becoming increasingly conformed to the image of His Son. And 6, we glorify God by knowing and loving and living the commands of God's Word by the grace of the Holy Spirit. And 7, and all 7 of these are by the grace of the Holy Spirit, of course. We glorify God by being heavenly minded and cherishing the desire to be with God forever. Soli Deo Gloria is the highest ambition of the true Christian. It's the deepest realization of thanksgiving. Then we say, praise ye the Lord, all creatures sing the praises of your God and King. Let all that breathe His praise proclaim and glorify His holy name. Praise ye the Lord, ye saints below, and in His courts His goodness show. Praise ye the Lord, ye hosts above, and heaven adore His boundless love. That's what this man does. He falls at Jesus' feet and gives glory to God. Now notice, this is beautiful. As he says with a loud voice, and he's singing, and he's leaping, and he's crying out, and he's glorifying Jesus. At the same time, he now falls down at Jesus' feet, on his face, at Jesus' feet, and gives Him thanks. Look at verse 15 again. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, and with a loud voice glorify God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving Him thanks. Now listen very carefully, boys and girls. The man who cried with a loud voice now becomes silent. He falls on his face. Why? Because in true thanksgiving, that's not superficial, two things come together. The greatness and the glory of God and my own sinful unworthiness. And they get married together in thankfulness. So the man who's loud is the man who's quiet. At the same time, he realizes God's greatness, God's goodness. But his own unworthiness, his own sinfulness makes him fall down on his face. I am a sinful man. Oh, this man is feeling something of what Peter said. Depart from me, O Lord, from a sinful man. The glory of God is too much for me. He falls on his face. And he's quiet. Quiet. Worshiping. Thanking. You see, true thankfulness makes God big. He is big, of course. But it recognizes his bigness. Maybe that's a better way to say it. But it makes me small. True thankfulness magnifies the glory of God and humbles us. If you've been there, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Times where you're so thankful you cannot even utter the word because you're so overwhelmed. Why? Why so good to me when I treated thee so bad? Why? Mercy to a hell-worthy wretch. You bow on your face and you just say, Soli Deo Gloria. Thank God for the gospel. Thank God for the gospel. That's true faith. And Jesus turns to him and says, arise. Arise. Go thy way. Thy faith has made thee whole. It's the faith that he gives, of course. But it becomes our faith because it doesn't happen outside of us. It goes on inside of us. Thy faith has made thee whole. So there's a Samaritan. An outcast. Not one of the nine. The nine have historical faith. The nine have miraculous faith. But the one has true saving faith. And the fruit of true saving faith, as Thomas Watson said, is always a constellation of graces. And one of those great graces is thanksgiving. My faith hath saved thee. Go thy way. It's made thee whole. And the word whole here in Greek, as you know, is a well-rounded wholeness. This man is made whole in soul and in body. He's made right with God. And he's healed. Well, that is the difference between superficial thanksgiving and genuine thanksgiving. Genuine thanksgiving ends in the glory of God. And it throws me on my face at the feet of God, praising Him. And Jesus answering said, but where were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. But where are the 9? That's the application of this history. God requires holistic, that's the way the Puritans put it, holistic thanksgiving. Matthew Henry put it this way. We should give thanks for all things, not only for spiritual blessings enjoyed and eternal ones expected, but for temporal mercies too. Not only for our comforts, but also for our sanctified afflictions. Not only for what immediately concerns ourselves, but for the instances of God's kindness and favor to others also, we are to give holistic thanksgiving. For God says, in everything give thanks to God as the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ and our Father in Him, in whose name we offer up all our prayers and praises and service that they may be acceptable to God. But where are the 9? Where are you this morning? Are you one of the 9? Are you one of the 1? Where are the 9? They did not have true saving faith. They did not have true thanksgiving. They were busy. They were on their way to the priest. They were healed. They were happy. They were thankful they were healed. Now they could go to the priest and the priest could say, you're healed. And then they would have to stay in confinement according to the law one more week. If they would stay healed one more week, they could go back to their families. If they turned back to Jesus, it would take time. They wanted to get back to their families, back to their jobs. You can understand it. Humanly. Or maybe they had to find a job. They had lost a job. Or maybe they had a farm and they had to go back and see how things were going on the farm. They're all busy people with all sorts of things, lawful things, necessary things. You see what happens. We can be so busy with our busyness that we're too busy for the Lord. They couldn't take the time to come back and give God the glory and fall at the feet of Jesus. They did not magnify God and humble themselves at the same time. They were thankful, but it was superficial. There was no sense of urgency, no sense of holistic thanksgiving. But the one was different. Charles Spurgeon has a wonderful section in one of his sermons about this one man who's thankful. And he says this. I'll just give it to you quickly. He says, this man shows six qualities that are important in true thanksgiving. First, he shows an individuality. He says this, you can sin in company. You can go to hell in company. But when you obtain salvation, you will come to Jesus all alone. You see, the one says, I must praise him. I must love him. I must confess before him. I must bow and throw myself at his feet. I must give glory to God, no matter what the other nine do. It's an individual thing. Even when it's corporate in the midst of God's people. That's why when you come to God's house and you truly worship him in the pew, you feel, don't you, even though you're corporately with the people of God, and that's wonderful, you feel sometimes like you're the only one in church. Like God is just speaking to you. That's what happens with grace. Grace is individualistic, ultimately. But secondly, this man's thankfulness was prompt, says Spurgeon. There was a promptness about it. He couldn't go back with the other nine to the priest. No, he had to go back to Jesus. It was his immediate conviction. Spurgeon says, second thoughts are best, they say. But I say, this is not the case when your heart is full of love to Christ. Go back always right away and glorify him. How practical that is in our daily lives, too. I've had to learn this lesson so many times in my life, and I'm still not totally consistent in it. But I think I'm learning a little bit more that when I have an impulse to pray right there. It's more important than anything else I'm going to do, whether it's eyes open or eyes shut, whether I'm driving in the road or studying the study, or maybe I have thoughts I want to put down in the sermon, but I have an impulse to pray. It's more important than my thoughts. It's more important than anything I'm doing. Go to God right away. Promptness, says Spurgeon. Thirdly, Spurgeon says he comes with intensity. He comes with a loud voice. There's an earnestness, you see. He could have praised in a quieter way, couldn't he have? Ah, says Spurgeon, you can't whisper out your praises to God when you're overwhelmed with his glory. It's got to come out. It's overwhelming to this man. And fourthly, in true thanksgiving, there's not only promptness and individuality and intensity, but Spurgeon says there's humility. We talked about that already. Prostration at his feet. Self has to die. We come in humility and thanksgiving. And fifthly, there's worship. He falls down and gives thanks to him. Thanks and humility are the ingredients that go into the recipe of true worship. And then six, which I find one of the most interesting ones, his silence as to censoring others. Spurgeon says, when the Savior said, where are the nine? Notice the man didn't answer. No reply. He could have said, Lord, they're gone off to the priests. He could even have been a little judgmental and said, Lord, I'm astonished at them. Thou hast healed them, but they didn't return to praise thee as I have. That's what he would have said if he was still a Pharisee. But he's silent. He knows that there's no difference between them and him inside. But God has made the difference. He's just bowing in the dust before God. He's not condemning. He's not condemning. It's such a sad, sad sign when unconverted people are sitting in judgment upon those that profess grace and are quick to say, well, I don't think it's true of them. Where are the nine? Where are the nine? Oh, I ask you this morning, do you know what it means to bow in true humiliation before Almighty God? God has blessed every one of us in this past year with so many things. You're either one of the nine, or you're like the Samaritan. Are you a young person, blessed richly in 2014, but still so busy pursuing a life on your own, getting your career in order, forgetting God? Of what worth is it if you don't become like this leper, this Samaritan leper? God says to you this morning, young people, where are the nine? Where are the nine? Are you going to return? Are you going to glorify me? Are you going to fall on your face before me? And you middle-aged father, you've been greatly blessed this year in your business, haven't you? But are you still among the nine? Why do you stay there? And you senior, you're beyond the age of the strong, or perhaps the very strong, and yet you're lingering. You're abiding among the nine, some of you, even as you teeter on the edge of eternity. God is calling to you this morning. Where are the nine? Acknowledge thine iniquity and return unto me, and I will have mercy upon you. Why are you still among the nine? Why do you refuse to bow down before me and praise me? Ah, you say, but I've sinned too much. It's too hopeless for me. No. Isn't it interesting in this parable that the one who returns is the one who's most despised, the one who's the most outcast, the one who seems to be the furthest gone. It's the Samaritan. There is room for Jerusalem sinners who've crucified the Lord of glory, said John Bunyan, in the Lord Jesus Christ. And here we say this morning, there's room for Samaritan sinners, Samaritan hopeless cases, Samaritan lepers with the Almighty Savior. Turn back. Repent of your sin. Fall on your face. Give glory to God. And be silent before Him. I just cry out in your soul, forgive all my base ingratitude, O God. Give me true thanksgiving. True thanksgiving. Where are the nine? Some of you have been busy with good things this year. Some of you have worked hard in Sunday school, HHOM, all kinds of ministries for this church. But are you still among the nine? Are you reaching out to help others and yet among the nine? Are you resisting the Spirit's strivings with you? You've come to church every Sunday this year. Maybe you didn't miss a single Sunday. Maybe you've been healthy all year. You're thankful for it. But are you still among the nine? Oh, that God, on this Thanksgiving Day, would bring you to spiritual birth. The invitation, yes, the command, comes to you once more. Sinner, entrust yourself to Christ. Go to the high priest. He can heal you. He's willing to heal you. Fall with your dead sinner's weight upon Him. Follow the advice of the poet. Cast thy guilty soul on Him. Find Him mighty to redeem. At His feet thy burden lay. Look thy doubts and cares away. Now by faith the Son embrace. Plead His promise. Trust His grace. Don't postpone. Don't wait till you feel ready to come. Don't say, I've got to do something else first. Come! Come, Samaritan sinner! Come, chief sinner! The bride and the Spirit say, come! And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. Let not conscience make you linger, nor of fitness fondly dream. All the fitness he requireth is to feel your need of him. This he gives you. 'Tis the Spirit's rising beam. Soon the Lord Jesus Christ shall come again. He'll take his place on the throne of glory. And in that day, you will come. You'll come before him. He'll say to his own, come ye blessed, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from before the foundation of the world. But then he'll turn to the nine and he'll say, I sent my gospel to you. I blessed you with an innumerable amount of blessings. I was merciful to you all the days of your life. Why did you never return to me? Why did you never glorify God? Why did you never fall on your face before me? Woe, woe, woe to us at that day if we're still among the nine. Therefore, now you nine, depart from me. Depart from me into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Where should we be? At Jesus' feet in the dust, glorifying God. That is true thanksgiving. And he's willing. He's able. He says to Samaritans who fall before him, arise, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Amen.
Thank you for listening to Doctrine for Life with Dr. Joel Beakey, a ministry of the Gospel Trumpet. Please consider supporting the broadcast of Doctrine for Life with your financial gifts. For more information on how to donate to this ministry and to download free booklets or audio files of previous broadcasts, please visit our website at gospeltrumpet.net. That's gospeltrumpet.net. William Ames said, theology is the doctrine of living to God. May God write the doctrines of the Bible upon your heart so that you may truly live.